Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services at the Kerwin Baptist Church located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
Look at verse 21 of Mark chapter 5, if you will. And when Jesus had passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Father, we need your help this morning. And Lord, I pray that I would say only those things that would honor and glorify you. And Lord, we love you. And we thank you for your grace that you give for whatever we go through. And Lord, I pray you'd help as we try even harder, Lord, to describe and teach about faith, that Lord, we would see all the dimensions of it, all the usefulness of it, all the facets of it, and Lord, that we would begin to apply faith to our life. Lord, our folks have already, many of them have applied faith in their giving. Now, Lord, I pray that we would apply faith in our living. In your name we pray, amen. I had a number of things that I was going to share about this story. I preached on this story here before. It's just a powerful story, but I feel it important to basically spend some time on some certain things this morning, and we'll let you go. I struggle when I preach to make sure that I kind of share. I might have prepared a lot, but I want to share only those things that God wants us to share for this particular hour. I want you to look at verse 27, if you would. The Bible, talking about this woman, said this: when she had heard of Jesus, came. I want you to notice, number one, this morning about this woman, that she was curious. She was curious. She had heard about Jesus, and that curiosity brought her to him. May I say that there are a lot of folks, not just in America, but there are a lot of folks within 10 miles of this church that are curious about Jesus. They have heard a lot of things about him. Some are true, some are not true. They've heard all kinds of different preachers. They've heard all kinds, many of them different religions. If they've ever gotten a hold of Christian TV or different Christian TV stations, you can literally watch for 6 hours and hear 100 different things. Some are true, some are not true. Who's right? Who's wrong? And yet, I do want you to know that in the midst of maybe resentment people have toward, look at me, religion, that there is still a curiosity about Jesus. And may I say that that's what you and I need to give people, not our religion, but our Savior. It's about Jesus. And since the beginning, that very moment when Jesus was born in a manger, there has always been curiosity about Jesus. There's times you think people don't care and people have no interest. Look at me. They might have that tough outer shell to you, but when they're sitting at home or laying on their bed and it's just them and silence, If they've never trusted Jesus as Savior and they don't know the gospel, there is a curiosity about Jesus. Even those that will say, I don't believe in a God, I'm an atheist, I'm a humanist, whatever the case might be, there is still, whether they will admit it or not, a curiosity about Jesus. They know there's something. Oftentimes people won't believe it if they can't define it, if they can't have it make sense in their mind. And this woman, by the way, we're going to talk in just a second, all that she had been through, and in her search to find something that would fill her need, she was curious because she had heard about Jesus. And I want you to know that your coworkers, those working right next to you, even your family members at your family reunions, however hard they might be on their outer shell, I guarantee you there is a curiosity about Jesus. And if they could just see something real in us that would help them to see he's real. You know why people don't think Jesus is real? Because they've met enough Christians that aren't real. But you meet somebody that knows Jesus and they're real, that helps the unsaved world to realize that Jesus is real too. She was curious. She had heard of Jesus. You know, there could be this morning, I don't know that for sure. Some Sundays we have more visitors than others, and sometimes we have visitors that have been in other churches or been in church for, and every once in a while you'll have visitors that come in. They don't really know much about church. They don't know much about what we call doctrine. They don't know much about a lot of things we might talk about, and you might be in that case this morning, and maybe you're just here out of curiosity. Maybe you're curious about this church. Maybe you're curious about me as a preacher. Maybe you're curious about this whole Christian thing. Maybe you're curious because we're a Baptist church, and you're wondering, what does that mean? And look at me, dear friend, whatever you might be curious about this morning, I'm here to tell you, nothing's going to satisfy your answers or the longing in your soul. There's only one thing that can, and that's Jesus. You came to the right place because we know how to point you to him. I want you to notice, secondly, this morning in verse 27, if you look at this verse, it says, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind. I notice, second, not only was she curious, but second, she was confused. Why? Well, look at verse 26. And had suffered, this woman had suffered many things of many physicians. What was the problem? Verse 25 says she had an issue of blood. She had a disease, and she'd had it for 12 years. And in verse 26 says she had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Not only was she curious about Jesus, but she was confused. And this is why she was confused. She had been sick for 12 years. Look at me. She had spent everything she had trying to find a cure. She had gone to every doctor that she could possibly go to find a cure. All her money hadn't gotten that done. All the physicians she had seen hadn't done one thing to heal her. And if you look at me, I look at a passage. There's always things that stand out to me. And I see three groupings of two words. That means three different times that two words are used. And it kind of tells the whole story in verse 26. I find that those two words, spent all. She had literally used every resource she had and had spent everything. The second thing I see is nothing bettered. All that she had tried, all the doctors she had paid, all the treatment she had gone through, nothing had made her better. And I'm going to tell you something, this world outside of this church, they're trying everything nowadays. They're trying drugs. They're trying alcohol. They're trying premarital sex. They're trying technology. They're trying money. They're trying everything. How many of you have ever... I have not seen an entire episode, but I've seen the previews. How many of you have ever seen a show called Strange Addictions? Any of you all ever seen that on the thing? What people get addicted to, it absolutely blows your mind. One lady, she just is addicted to eating detergent, powdered detergent. How does that even start? What caused that first step where you try detergent? One lady has bees that she holds the bees and she makes them sting her and hang it, and she just does that constant. And her husband said, I'm concerned about her. I think so. We live in a society that addiction is everywhere. People, they just can't deal without that addiction because there's nothing to satisfy them. Nothing makes sense. Nothing answers their questions. Everything's empty. Everything's vain. This woman had tried everything. She had spent everything. And I might be talking to some folks this morning. Maybe you're here at church because, man, I've tried everything. I've tried the clubs. I've tried the bars. And by the way, folks that have gone that route and they know it doesn't satisfy, I wish they could get the attention of some people that aren't there yet. Because some people will leave a good church, a good family, a good marriage, and they'll go to that lifestyle, and they think it's fun, and it's this, and it's that, and they have no idea it's going to leave them empty. It's not going to help one thing. There'll be nothing bettered, as this verse says. The last two words I see, it says it grew worse. She spent all. She was nothing bettered. And even worse than that, it grew worse. She was confused. By the way, Jesus has a way of helping confused people. There is something about Jesus that clears up all the confusion. Even to a Christian, even to us that have been saved and we know we're saved and we know God's in control and we believe the Bible and we believe we're on our way to heaven, and even us, even those of us that know Jesus, things can happen in life. Circumstances can come in life and it can absolutely confuse us to where we don't know what we should do. We don't know why this is happening. We don't know what our actions should be, and we don't know why people have done this or why people have done that. Listen to me, dear friend. Even for us that know Christ, Christ Jesus is where to go to clear up the confusion. You know why you and I get confused? Because we let everything this world has to offer in. You know the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law. You know what the Bible says? That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Jesus clears up the confusion. She was confused. I want you to notice thirdly in verse 27, she was committed. The Bible says that she came in the press behind. We know in verse 24 that he had much people, the Bible says, following him. So here's Jesus dealing with the crowd, trying to walk. All this crowd is thronging him. And the Bible says that this woman, and by the way, you say, well, what's the big deal? I could fight through a crowd. Hey, I don't know how bad sick she was. Now, she had an issue of blood for 12 years. She might have been very feeble. She might have been very weak. If she tried every doctor and every resource she had, odds are she was in very bad health. So it wasn't just like me trying to fight through a crowd. Bless God, I can get through a crowd. My wife for Christmas gave me got two tickets to a Carolina Tar Heel game at Carolina. Now, I know for some of you, that wouldn't be a very great gift for you. For me, that was a good gift. And we thought, well, we're going to make a day out of it and go and get a room, and that'll be my Christmas gift. And we were in the hospital with Caden. So we walked from the hospital right to the basketball game. But it was great to get out of the room. My mother-in-law came and watched Caden in the hospital room so we could go to the game. Let me tell you something. They released at halftime there, and I was watching. They released at halftime, and I had to go to the bathroom. When I got up out of that section, I'm going, and you talk about a crowd. But guess who got in that bathroom? Tell you something, if I want to get through a crowd, I can get through a crowd. This woman was weak, frail. And the Bible says that she was so committed to getting to Jesus that she came through the press. That means that they were pressing against her, and she went against what was fighting against her to get to Jesus. Look at me. How is this applied to you and I? Dear folks, look at me. Satan will do everything he can do to get a number of things to fight against you getting to Jesus. I've witnessed to people, and Satan will throw everything. I've witnessed people that said, we're going to be at church on Sunday, and Satan will bring sickness. He'll bring something. He'll bring a car wreck. He'll bring a fender bender. There's no telling what Satan will come up with to keep a person out of God's house, to keep a person out of the sound of the gospel. Satan will do everything he can do to press you, to keep you away from getting to Jesus. And if you've been saved, and you're a guilty distance away from God, Satan will do everything he can do to keep you away from him. You're going to have to fight against the press. You're going to have to be so committed to know, I've got to get back to Jesus. I've got to get right with him like I was. I've got to get this sin out of my life. I've got to have a clear conscience again. I don't care if nobody comes an invitation. I'm getting down to that altar. A lot of times for a person to come to Christ, they got to fight Christians. They got to fight apathy. For a person to get, you know, to an altar, they got to fight against everybody that's not going to an altar. And old Satan will say, hey, you're the only one walking out. Where, bless God, probably 150 sitting right here ought to be at the altar getting right. A lot of times we got to go through the cold-hearted. We got to go through the counterfeit. A lot of times people say, well, I know a Christian, and they were lied, and they were a hypocrite. I'm not going to go to Jesus. I'm not going to go to this church. I'm not going to give their kind of salvation, they call it. I knew a Christian one time, and look what they did to me. Look at me, dear friend. Don't let some rotten Christian keep you from Jesus. She came in the press. She was committed. Let me tell you something. You don't just find Jesus by accident. You've got to commit to go. You've got to determine, I'm wrong, he's right, and I need him. I want you to notice, fourthly this morning, that she was confident. Look at verse 28, if you will. I thought this was good. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I might be whole. Didn't say that, did it? If your Bible does say that, you need a different one. It says, I shall be whole. Confidence. That's what faith is. Look at me. Confidence. And here's where the teaching and growing starts. Look at me, folks. She was not confident in herself. She was confident in his ability. And there's a difference in arrogance and faith. Arrogance says, well, I can do it. No, let me tell you something. Faith is, God can help me do it. She was absolutely confident. I know that if I can't even, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, she never actually touched Jesus. She just touched his clothes. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever really looked at this story? She said, if I can just touch his garment. What did Jesus say when he turned around? Who hath touched my garment? She didn't even have to touch him. Look at me. It wasn't the touch that healed her. It was the faith in him that healed her. A lot of times you and I think, oh, I've got to do this, and I've got to serve, and I've got to accomplish this, and I've got to do this in a church and that in a church, and I've got to do all these things to make God pleased enough in me that he'll actually use me. No, look at me. It's not the act of what you do. It's the faith you have in him. Amen. Had nothing to do with the touch. Had nothing to do with it. You know why? Because I believe that God knew that years later that there would be some idiot preacher, excuse the expression, that would say the reason she heals because she touched his physical body. Let me tell you something. Touching a physical body isn't what heals and saves. It's putting faith in a Savior. She just touched his garment. Look at me. It wasn't the touch. It was the faith that she had, that she knew he can heal me. Even though everybody else I've tried has failed, I know. She was confident in his ability. You know what the Bible says you and I ought to do? The Bible says you and I ought to come boldly to the throne of grace. That doesn't mean we come say, hey, I have a right to be here. That means we come and we have confidence. I'm here because I know I can be here because of what Jesus did for me. He's made it possible. I guess I'm the only one excited about this. Fifth, Not only was she curious, not only was she confused, not only was she committed, not only was she confident, but I noticed fifthly, she was changed. Look at verse 29. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She was changed. Let me give you a little bit of a news bulletin here. You don't have to have physical healing to change. She knew she was healed of the disease. But let me tell you how she was changed. Her soul was now on its way to heaven. You know why? Because she had put faith in Jesus. Get this. This is the most, my favorite part about this story. The faith in Jesus was there before he ever healed her. You see, it'd be one thing if she said, well, you know, if I just touch him and if he heals me, I'll know that he's the Savior. But the Bible says that she had faith that he could heal her and that he would heal her before he ever healed her. So her faith was not because of what he had done. Her faith was in who he was. I got a mom laying at hospice. Been praying for years that God would heal her. Could God still heal her? Absolutely. Absolutely. Look at me. But if he doesn't, I still have my faith in him. Tuesday night before our revival services, Dad called and said, we're going to take mom to hospice. We had spent some very bad nights leading up to that. So I went over. I've told you for a while that us men compartmentalize. I've just not allowed myself to go there. Tuesday night, I had to. Really, we looking at her, even the hospice nurse, we thought she had hours. It was that bad Tuesday night. I got there to the house, and I went in, and she was laying on the bed. We're waiting on the ambulance to come get her, take her to hospice. And I just broke. Thank God nobody was in there. I was trying to hold it together so that she wouldn't notice it when she was able to open her eyes. I excused myself, went to another room in the apartment by myself. Just had to process this. And then I went back in, and my wife had gotten there by that point. And I was holding mom's hand, trying to talk to her. And I said, Mom, I love you. And she said, I love you. And I said, Mom, I want you to know, I will still be faithful to God when you die. I'm not faithful to God because he heals my mom. I'm faithful to God because he's God. She was changed. I want you to notice, lastly, that she was chosen. Look at verse 30, if you will. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Look at verse 31. Now we're given the story. The disciples say, all these people? What do you mean, who touched your clothes? A bunch of people have touched your clothes. A bunch of people have bumped into you. There was a throng of people. And in the middle of all this, all of a sudden, Jesus turns around and says, hey, not who touched me. And that's why Mark gives a better perspective, I think, on this particular story. Now, we're going to give you another one right before we close. But he says this, who touched my clothes? So it wasn't even a physical, hey, feel this. It was like somebody brushing up against your garment. You wouldn't even feel that. So why out of all that group was she chosen? Why out of all that group was she noticed? Look at me. She was chosen because of her faith. She was healed because of her faith. She was noticed because of her faith. She was written about in God's word because of her faith. Why was she chosen? What made her different than everybody else there? I'll tell you, it's the same thing that makes one person different from everybody else. It's the same thing that makes one church member different from other church members. It's the same thing that makes one church different from other churches. Their faith. That's what makes you different. That's what makes mature Christians. That's what makes the difference. Not who can sing better. Not who can preach better. Not who has more ministries. Not who has more people. Not who has more things. But in God's eyes, it's who has the most faith in Him. We might be shocked when we get to heaven to find out who the great churches were. We're going to be shocked to find out when we get to heaven who the great Christians were. There'll be people that we never saw on a stage, but had a faith in God that was unwavering. In fact, God said this, oh, if you just had faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. I want you to look real quickly before we close at Matthew chapter 9. Something very important I want to show you in this, and we'll go this morning. Matthew chapter 9, I want you to look at verse 18. Matthew gives the same account, but it's amazing how brief Matthew is. That's what's good about the Gospels, folks. Many times in the Gospels, you have four different men writing about a same incident, writing about a same particular thing, and it gives you four perspectives. It's just like, and I'm not going to belabor this point, but it's just like if I got up here and Brother Joe got up here and Scott Tucker got up here and let's say Roger Smith gets up here and we all watched one thing happen, but all four of us describe it, we're all going to leave certain details out that the other one's going to give, and I might give some details that the other one's left out. You're going to get four perspectives. Why is that so important? So that you can get all the information gathered. You know why Jesus' life is recorded by four different men? So you can get all the information. You know why? In my personal walk with Christ, I might see some things about Jesus that you might not see. There might be some things He's done for me that I can describe, maybe you can't. That's why we're given so many accounts of the same thing. I want you to look at verse 18, Matthew chapter 9. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler. Didn't say his name was Jairus here. He left that detail out. Notice this. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Hold on. Did anybody notice a word in that verse that seems a little bit odd? It's the word worshipped. Wait a minute. Verse 18, we're told that this man comes to Jesus in the middle of this crowd, and the Bible says he worships him. Okay, well, wait a minute. Now, in Mark, it said that he came and begged God and said, Hey, I know you can heal her. I've got faith. She shall live. But in Matthew, it says he worshiped him. Now, that word's not used elsewhere. So what is he talking about here? You remember the verse we've been saying through this whole series, without faith, it's impossible to please God? We are shown here, look at me, that it is impossible, I believe, to worship God unless you have faith in Him. Because you know what we're told in Matthew? He worshiped. How? Because he looks at Jesus and says, if you'll touch my daughter, she shall live. That means this, you don't have to do it for me to already know it, that you can do it. I know you can because I have faith in you. And Matthew said that was worship.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from the broadcast. Our church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kerwinbaptistchurch.com. Our service times are Sunday school at 9:45, morning worship at 10:45 on Sundays, and 6 o'clock p.m. Sunday evening. Also on Wednesdays, we have our midweek prayer service at 7 and the Awana Clubs for our children. Thank you for listening to the Kerwin broadcast today. God bless you.